नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तथापि तदपि प्रेतं जानन् अहम् अरिन्दमा पृष्ठतो वाकमं पर्थु भारविश्लेषणाक्षमा।
Yet in spite of my knowing his desire to destroy the dynasty, O Arindama Vidura, I followed him because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of the master.
Adrakshamekamasinam vichinvam dayatam patim suri niketam Sarasvatyam Kuritaketam Maketanam.
Thus following, I saw my patron and master, Lord Sri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter on the bank of the river Saraswati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Those who are in the renounced order of life often take shelter underneath a tree. The Lord was found by Uddhava in that condition, of taking shelter as do persons who have no shelter. Because he is the proprietor of everything, everywhere is his shelter, and everywhere is under his shelter. The entire material and spiritual cosmic manifestation is sustained by him, and therefore he is the shelter of everything. So there was nothing astonishing in his taking shelter in the way of the unsheltered who are in the renounced order of life.
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya. Text 3 and 4, 5 and 6, I'm sorry. Herein we find two devotees, both loving, intimate associates of the Lord, both who have been through extreme heartbreaking situations meeting together. Vidura was living in his Hastinapur, was the loving devotee of the Lord, and also the most faithful, competent minister and advisor to the king, Dhritarashtra. He had to balance the most impossible situations. On one level, Vidura was trying to be completely faithful in his role as the minister of a king, no matter what may have happened. He always remained Dhritarashtra's brother, friend, and his greatest well-wisher. At the same time, Duryodhana, the son of Dhritarashtra, was influencing the king to commit abominable atrocities toward the Pandavas. Vidura was a pure devotee of Krishna, and he loved the Pandavas, who were his nephews, just as the Kauravas were. Vidura, even when he saw fault, he tried, according to his powers, to rectify it, but it never disturbed his affection for anyone. He loved Duryodhana, but he hated what Duryodhana was doing and saying. When they built the house of Lakh with the idea of burning the Pandavas alive, and such a demoniac strategy it was, they invited the Pandavas to a wonderful vacation in a beautiful house that they had built. They were promising the Pandavas such a wonderful experience, and they were presenting it as it was an offering of their love. But behind the scenes, the whole purpose was to kill them, along with their mother, Kunti. And the Pandavas accepted it, and they went. It was Vidura who secretly sent the message to the Pandavas. We have to dig a tunnel underground so that you can escape. Can you imagine how Kunti and her children were horrified when they found out from Vidura that the whole purpose they invited you here was to burn you alive till you're dead? And Vidura had to do it in such a way that nobody in Hastinapur knew that he was involved. That's how he was trying to balance things. And he was successful. He arranged for the Pandavas to escape, and the Kurus thought that they were dead. No one had any idea that Vidura had actually completely defeated all their plans. Every time Duryodhana convinced Dhritarashtra to perform these atrocities to the Pandavas, poisoning Bhima, they actually fed him deadly poison. The name of Bhima is Brikodar, which means he has an incredible appetite. He can eat huge quantities of prasad. And yet he's a great devotee. Krishna says in Gita, this path is not for one who eats too much or eats too little. So Bhima, he would eat more than all of his four brothers combined. Much more. So we may think, why is he eating so much? But Prabhupada said he never ate too much, because that was his, what do they say in medical terms? That was his constitution. He was so powerful. He was so strong. His body had such incredible prowess that he needed that much food just to sustain his incredible body. And in one purport, Prabhupada says, if one could perform the mighty feats of Bhima, then only one can eat like Bhima. Otherwise, one should not eat so much, because if you eat so much or I eat so much, we will become sleepy and our health will become less. But Bhima could eat huge amounts. That story in Ekachakra, where he brought that whole wagon full of food to the demon Bakasura, and he ate it all. He ate the whole wagon full of food. Big wagon, not little child's wagon. Pulled by horses. So this is how clever Duryodhana was. He was so empowered by Maya due to his false ego. Even Maya, she looks for any, either our strengths or our weaknesses to somehow get us. So Duryodhana knew that Bhima liked food. So this is the way to kill him, through food, through what he likes. So they made cakes with poison. And he ate it. He fell unconscious. They threw him in the river. But then snakes bit him in the river. And the snakes neutralized the poison. And not only that, they gave him even more power. So everything Duryodhana was doing was failing. But Vidura was seeing all this. Still, he was a loving uncle to Duryodhana. He was a loving brother and advisor to Dhritarashtra. And at the same time, he was doing everything he could to stop them from their atrocities while saving the Pandavas from all of these terrible dangers. But at a certain point, when Vidura saw it was getting so bad, he was trying to give Dhritarashtra a chance. This is not just some conflict within the royal dynasty. This is the most serious Vaishnav aparad. Such offenses to Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva, Kunti Devi, who was a pure Paramhamsa lady devotee. So he was honestly, with such deep compassion, like a doctor diagnosing a patient's disease. You should not listen to Duryodhana. You are the king. You should take your position of dharma and don't listen to your son, who is offense personified, who is motivated by nothing but envy. And he said this in the presence of Duryodhana. Duryodhana was so angry, even though Vidura was senior to him in every way. If Vidura was not born by inconceivable reasons from Vyasadeva as his father, just like Dhritarashtra and Pandu, he was the most qualified to be king. But because his mother was a maidservant, he was not given that right. Duryodhana called him the son of a kept servant and insulted him in every possible way and told him, you get out from here and you cannot take anything with you except your breath. He considered him the sympathizer of his enemy. And Dhritarashtra, in such illusion, didn't say a word. He could have said, Duryodhana, don't you speak to your uncle like that. But he was afraid of his own son. He was afraid that Duryodhana would commit suicide. This is how clever Duryodhana was. He would threaten, if I don't get my way, I will commit suicide. And Dhritarashtra was so attached. He sat and watched this offense. And his own brother, the most qualified of all the brothers, the best friend, the best well-wisher, who dedicated his life to faithfully serve Dhritarashtra despite all these atrocities. Vidura was kicked out of his home, separated from his family, and was told to leave with nothing. Dhritarashtra watched and didn't say a word. The words of Duryodhana were so harsh, and he had such charisma and such power. It said those words were like piercing red-hot arrows that inflicted pain to Vidura in the very core of his heart. Such harshness, such hatred to someone he loved. From someone he loved. Although Vidura was in incredible pain, he understood that this is the will of nature, ultimately the will of Krishna. That he was to renounce everything in this world and just go on pilgrimage. So we can imagine a grihastha suddenly, within an instant, being kicked out of his home without any money, without anything, suddenly just banished. And such an insult, and such a sense of total betrayal by his own brother and everyone else in the court. Nobody else stood up for him. There were so many people in the Kuru dynasty. Nobody stood up for him. Everyone was afraid. But he accepted it all as Krishna's mercy. And went up and began his pilgrimage. For many years he went on this pilgrimage. And the nature of a pilgrimage in those days was there was no communication with anyone. There was no news shows or internet update posts. He didn't know what happened. He was just totally absorbed in remembering Krishna, meditating on Krishna, praying to Krishna, chanting Krishna's names and glories. He hardly met anyone except sages and rishis in holy places. He went to the holy rivers, the Tirthasthans. And here we find that Vidura, during his pilgrimage, is meeting Uddhava. Uddhava was Krishna's cousin. Vidura was Krishna's uncle. Although Uddhava was of everyone in Dwarka, Mathura, the closest, most intimate, loving friend of Krishna, still, he was like the age of the sun of Vidura. So Uddhava offered his obeisances, and Vidura embraced him. And we find in these chapters the beautiful discussion between the two. Vidura, during his pilgrimage, met with Maitreya Rishi. And many, many chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam are a description of the dialogue between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. Before it really begins, Shukadev Goswami is asking how they met. And Parikshit is asking Shukadev Goswami how they met. And he's explaining how, first of all, Vidura met Uddhava. And Vidura is asking about Krishna, asking about the Yadus and all his loving friends. And Uddhava begins to remember Krishna in such profound love and separation. He's remembering Krishna's beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. And he's narrating these pastimes to Vidura. He's remembering Krishna's loving relationships with Yashoda and the gopis, and how Krishna, even when Putana came to kill him in the most deceiving way, in the role of appearing like a mother, she came to kill Krishna. Still, Krishna gave her the highest liberation in the spiritual world as his own mother, a nurse assistant of Yashoda. Describing the beautiful pastimes of Vrindavan, he began to describe the pastimes of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka. And then he tells how in Kurukshetra, what happened? The annihilation of both the Kuru and Pandava armies. And only the Pandavas and a few others survived. And then he tells about the fratricidal war between the Yadus. And how after the Yadu dynasty departed from the earth in such an inconceivable way, Krishna was all alone in Prabhaskshetra on the bank of the Saraswati River, sitting under a tree. This is the verse we're coming to today. He's telling that I followed him. Uddhava says, I followed Krishna because it was impossible for me to bear separation from the lotus feet of my master. And Srila Prabhupada's explaining how Those in the renounced order of life, sometimes they leave home, they leave everything and take shelter of a tree. And here Krishna is doing the same thing. And Srila Prabhupada's giving such a beautiful description how Krishna's the proprietor of everything, the entire cosmic manifestation. Because he is the proprietor of everything, everywhere is his shelter, and everywhere is under his shelter. The entire material and spiritual cosmic manifestation is sustained by him, and therefore he is the shelter of everything. So there was nothing astonishing in his taking shelter in this way. Of the unsheltered, who are in the renounced order of life. One of Krishna's six opulences is renunciation. Although he's the proprietor of everything exists, still, and although he's the controller of all controllers, still, he's controlled by his devotees. Although he's completely self-satisfied, still, he has 16,108 wives in Dwarka. Although he's totally Atmarama, he's Parabrahman. Still, he engages in so many activities in Dwarka, raising children and grandchildren. So Krishna's renunciation. Here we find just like an ordinary person, he goes to take shelter under a tree. But ultimately, the tree and everything else is his property. And for those in the renounced order of life, actually, this is where they find their shelter, in this understanding that the tree is Krishna's property. Krishna's here. We could find shelter in Krishna in any situation if we understand that every situation, that everywhere and everything is Krishna's property. Everything is Krishna's energy. And we can find shelter of Krishna through his energy if we remember Krishna. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Illusion is when we forget something's relationship with Krishna. When we see anything separate from Krishna, that is illusion. To see every tree as Krishna's divine energy, Krishna's divine property, Krishna's divine child as the soul within that tree is to see Krishna within the tree. Just like a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how to see Krishna in everything. So in the Gita, Krishna instructs, one who sees me in everything in me, that person is never lost. Nor is he ever lost to me. So how to see Krishna in everything? Prabhupada said, when you see my spectacles, what do you think? The devotee said, oh, I think these are Prabhupada's spectacles. And Prabhupada said, what do you feel? He said, well, when I see the spectacles and I remember you, I feel love for you. He said, so in the same way, everything is the property of Krishna. Sarva Loka Maheshwara. And if we remember Krishna in everything we see, in remembering Krishna, it awakens our love for Krishna. In this way, we can see Krishna everywhere and in everything. So Krishna is taking shelter of a tree. And at the same time, he's giving shelter to all trees and giving shelter to everything and everyone. This is the uniqueness of his renunciation. Although he's giving shelter to everyone, still he's playing the role of taking shelter. And Uddhava approached him. And Krishna was just about to leave the world. A pastime that Srila Prabhupada says devotees do not like to discuss this pastime, because it's too heartbreaking. Devotees like to remember Krishna in thoughts of his wonderful leelas. But this is the one leela they don't like to discuss, of when he leaves this world. So I'm not going to discuss it. But Krishna told Uddhava, Krishna told Uddhava that you should go to Badrikashram, and there you will associate with me. And from there you will never take birth in this material world again, you will go to the spiritual world, my eternal abode. So Uddhava explained to Vidura that while he was there under the tree, Krishna gave lessons to him, and the great sage Maitreya Muni was also there. So Uddhava told Vidura that now I must go to Badrikashram, where I will associate with Krishna. Vidura asked some more questions. And it was at that time that Uddhava told him that because Maitreya Rishi is close by and because he is senior to me, it's improper for me to give these lessons when he also heard them. So you should hear from him. Maryada Vyatikrama. Srila Prabhupada emphasizes this, that the etiquette of showing honor and respect to a senior is the lifeline of a Vaishnava. It's not a detail. Srila Prabhupada says when we overstep in this way, by thinking ourselves superior. Srila Prabhupada says even if Krishna actually was speaking mostly to Uddhava and Maitreya was listening, because Maitreya may have been a very, very great scholar, but Uddhava had such deep, intimate, loving friendship and devotion to Krishna. But still, because Maitreya was in a superior position, Uddhava honored that. And Prabhupada said, in purport, if we do not honor this, then our life duration, our opulence, our devotion, everything is sincerely disturbed. Then Uddhava took leave from Vidura and traveled to Badrikashram. At the same time, Vidura went to Maitreya, and several volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know them, were spoken between them. Srila Prabhupada explains that Uddhava went to Badrikashram to be in the association of Krishna. Of course, in those days, 5,000 years ago, there was no roads going to Badrikashram like there is today. It's very rigorous trying to go there. Most of the year, it's covered by ice and snow. And it wasn't that Vidura was just going for a few weeks and then coming down. He was going there for the rest of his life, even in the snow. Even today, when there's roads, you can't even get up there in the winter. The roads are blocked by snow. But Uddhava went there to live. And he went there because Krishna ordered him to be there. Srila Prabhupada explains that the order of Krishna, the order of the Guru, is not different than Krishna and the Guru. So when we are executing the order, we are in perfect, intimate association. If we are executing that order with devotion. So Uddhava was going to Badrikashram to intimately associate with Krishna. In this dialogue with Vidura, Uddhava is crying, totally brokenhearted, because Krishna left the world. And you can imagine Vidura was in the same condition hearing about it for the first time. And hearing about it from Uddhava. They were both totally broken. Vidura's hearing that Krishna left. And Uddhava's explaining that Krishna left. And in his total helplessness of separation, he began to describe all these beautiful pastimes of Krishna. And he remembered the loving exchanges that he had with Krishna and the Brijabasis had with Krishna. Sri Radha and the gopis and the gopas and Nanda and Yashoda and the cows and the calves. He's remembering all these beautiful loving relationships and the loving relationships with the queens and the residents of the Yadus in Dwarka. And suddenly, Uddhava explained that all of his anxieties, all of his grief was removed as he was speaking about Krishna. And as he was speaking about Krishna, he was hearing about Krishna. And as he was speaking and hearing about Krishna, he was remembering Krishna. And he could actually feel the same happiness that he had when he was personally with Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam tells Uddhava's connection with Krishna is they would sit together, they would eat together, they would lay down together, they would take walks together, and Krishna, although he is all-knowing, he knows everything, past, present, and future. Vedaham samatita nivarta mana nichar. He knows everything. He knows every living being. But still, Krishna in Dwarka would appear like he was perplexed. And he would call Uddhava and consult him and ask Uddhava's opinion. What should I do in this situation? How beautiful. Krishna's never bewildered. But yet, by his own sweet will, he's bewildered. This is very subtle and deep. Some people may say that, Krishna, how can Krishna be bewildered?
He's the source of everything. He knows everything. He knows everything in the past, present, and future. He knows all beings. Just by his will, the entire cosmic manifestation is created. He speaks Bhagavad Gita. How could he be bewildered? He can't be bewildered. So some people say when he's doing like this, he's pretending to be bewildered just to have a loving reciprocation with Uddhava. And others say he's actually not pretending. For the sake of loving rasa with his devotee, he actually is feeling bewildered. Just to give his devotee not just some play service, I'm pretending so you speak to me, but from his heart, just to receive that devotion. He's actually, by his own sweet will, feeling the need for it. Just like when Krishna is hungry for Yashoda Mai's milk, it's not that I'm Atmarama, I'm self-satisfied, I don't need milk, but just for Yashoda's sake, I'll pretend that I'm hungry. By the power of Yashoda's love, Krishna actually is hungry for her love in the form of milk. And similarly, Krishna's hungry for Uddhava. Obviously, Uddhava's not in Vatsalya Ras like that. He's Sakya Ras. So he's hungry for his friendship. He's hungry for his friendship. And part of that friendship in friends is we give advice to each other. Yes, that's the way friends are supposed to be. Sometimes in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna's instructing Uddhava as a guru, but also as a friend. But he's taking that role like the supreme guru when he's instructing him. But at other times, he's asking for Uddhava's advice because he really feels he needs it. That's the ras of the love that Krishna has with his intimate devotees. So Uddhava's remembering these things, remembering Krishna's pastimes with Bhishma, with Kunti, with the gopas and the gopis, with his queens, with himself. And Uddhava saying that when I'm remembering Krishna's loving rasas with his devotees, I am feeling Krishna's presence so much. Exactly in my separation of remembering Krishna, I am feeling Krishna's presence just as when we were together. He was feeling transcendental ecstasy. What was Uddhava's loving relationship with Krishna? Why is he considered the most intimate of all the associates of Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura, in the whole Yadu dynasty? Because Krishna's intimacy with Uddhava, he's the only one he sent to Vrindavan to give his message to the Brijbasis. He sent Balaram, but Balaram had already lived in Vrindavan the same amount of time as Krishna. Balaram himself was a Brijbasi, as was Krishna. But he sent Uddhava, a prince of the Yadu dynasty at that time in Mathura. Because Krishna was thinking how the gopis and the gopas were in so much separation from him to such an extent that their life could not be sustained. The only thing that kept them alive is that Krishna promised that he would return.
so they couldn't die. Doesn't talk about any of the Brijabasis dying.
Yes, we don't read about any of the Brijabasis dying.
They couldn't die. because they felt Krishna was expecting them to welcome him back home when he returned. Where Krishna was expecting the gopas to play with him, the gopis to dance with him, the elder gopas and gopis to cook for him and to protect him. They were totally immersed in remembering Krishna's pastimes, 24 hours a day, living for that moment when Krishna would return.
But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna tells that actually, just as you cannot bear separation from me and separation,
I can't bear separation from you. And Krishna says that I worship Narayan. Because the gopis aren't thinking Krishna's God, they're thinking Narayan's God. He said, I worship Narayan so that every day I could leave Dwarka and come in Vrindavan to be with all of you. And I'm there all day, every day, and then I return to Dwarka. Srila Prabhupada calls this Krishna's bhava expansion. He's not there in a way that could physically be seen with his spiritual body. But in their hearts, he goes to Vrindavan every day and he reciprocates personally with their love within their hearts. It's not just imagination. Krishna tells, I come every day because I cannot bear separation from you, just as you cannot bear separation from me. This is their relationship. So Krishna wanted to keep them alive by sending a message through Uddhava. And just to make the message really authentic, Uddhava looked like Krishna because he was so absorbed in Krishna. Krishna gave Uddhava some of his clothes to wear. And Krishna gave Uddhava his chariot to drive. So when he came to Vrindavan, everyone thought, Krishna's come. But then they saw it was Uddhava. Krishna really didn't send Uddhava just to send the message to the gopas and gopis. That was only a part. He sent Uddhava to Vrindavan because he wanted Uddhava to see the quality of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And he wanted to show the whole world the quality of that love. Because Uddhava was the constant associate of Krishna. And the Brijabasis were for a long time not having any apparent association with Krishna. In this material world, if you love someone and they leave you, after some time the heart heals and you go on with your life. But Uddhava saw it was totally the opposite with the Brijabasis. Krishna left, and their love for him was ever increasing. Their need for him was ever increasing. When he saw how 24 hours every day they were yearning for Krishna in separation, Uddhava realized, I have no love for Krishna compared to them. And he prayed. He prayed to be a gulmalata, a little shrub on the ground, a piece of grass near Govardhan Hill, so that when the gopas and the gopis are traversing Govardhan, the breeze may carry some of the dust of their feet to be on his head, or maybe even they may step on him. Such an ecstasy. How many of you would like somebody to step on your head? And if you're just a little shrub, when somebody steps on you, because, you know, the shrub is fully conscious. Yes, it's not like when you step on grass today, the grass feels it, but they have such a low state of consciousness, they don't feel too much pain. But Uddhava wants to be fully conscious, as he is, with the body of a piece of grass. So when they step on him, that's the cows step on him, the bulls step on him, the gopas and the gopis step on him. That's his greatest aspiration, that he could be under their feet. Because then he feels, then some of the love and the devotion that they have, he could also have. Such an amazing revelation. Rupa Goswami says that we should follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Uddhava didn't only want to follow in their footsteps, he wanted to be under their footsteps. He wanted their feet to step on him. That was his devotion. And when he returned to Mathura to speak with Krishna, he was so grateful. And he explained to Krishna, now I understand why you sent me to Vrindavan. Because he wanted me to experience what the love of the Brijabasis are. He personally witnessed Nanda and Yashoda's love. Sridhama, Subala, the cowherd boy's love. And ultimately, near Nandagam in Uddhava Kyari, he saw the gopis' love. And the culmination was when he saw the love of Sri Radha and her talking to a bumblebee as a messenger of Krishna. Now, a great prince says that Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati. He was a great scholar. He was a royal prince. And here's a gopi talking to a bumblebee. And it wasn't a very highly analytic Sankhya philosophy discussion she was having with the bumblebee. She was saying, you are an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. She's talking about Krishna. She's chastising Krishna through a bumblebee, because the bumblebee was black like Krishna. And Uddhava was thinking, this is the highest. This is the highest spiritual revelation, Sri Radha's love. So through this lila, we understand how dear Uddhava was to Krishna, that he revealed these secrets only to him. Uddhava, when Krishna told him he was leaving the world, just by remembering him, by remembering his names, remembering his pastimes, and executing his order. And it wasn't an easy order to walk to Badrikashram and live there for the rest of your life. Not an easy thing to do. he was feeling the ecstasy and the bliss of Krishna's association. Through hearing, chanting, and doing, executing Krishna's will. And essentially, this is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. To always remember Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us so many incredible, wonderful stories of Krishna and his devotees in so many beautiful avatars, all based in pure unalloyed devotion. And it culminates in the 10th canto with Krishna's leelas on this earth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amalam Puranam, he declared the Bhagavatam to be the greatest of all the scriptures, the purest of all Puranas. And this was his mission, to spread the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of the devotees who were attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, and the congregational chanting of the holy names. And Uddhava came as one of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates. His name was Paramananda Puri. And he was one of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who taught the highest principles of pure bhakti. Swarup Damodar Goswami taught the highest perfection of totally being absorbed in chanting the holy names and glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Ramananda Rai was totally absorbed in speaking of Krishna's beautiful pastimes. Swarup Damodar and Kirtan and Paramananda Puri was in constant meditation on Krishna. Is there any questions? Maitreya Rishi was a very advanced great soul. Do you think Yudhisthira Maharaj was insulted because Krishna was speaking to Arjuna? Yudhisthira Maharaj was in total ecstasy that Krishna was speaking to Arjuna. He was listening. Maitreya Rishi, being in the presence of Krishna, being allowed to be there, Krishna was not ignoring Maitreya Rishi. He was not neglecting Maitreya Rishi. It's just that Uddhava was so deeply intimate with Krishna. That Krishna was speaking to him in a very intimate way. And Maitreya Rishi was absolutely thrilled. It was the absolute highlight of his whole life. He was so grateful he could be there with such a great soul as Uddhava. When he's talking to Krishna. Among such great souls, there could be no envy. Uddhava honored Maitreya Rishi. Maitreya Rishi honored Uddhava. That's the way Vaishnavas are. Is there any other questions? Yes. Did everyone hear the question? It's a long question, so I'm... We don't have time to ask him to repeat it, or even for me to repeat it. Don't worry about it. Yes. Just pray to overcome your false ego and continue doing devotional service. And if you're doing your devotional service with the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, then it's a very, very slow process. But even if you have desires for profit, adoration, and distinction, but you're doing devotional service to rise above those things and resist those temptations, then that's the right situation. We should carry on with our devotion. It's not that we should give up our devotion thinking, I may become popular. I may get special mercy. And then I'll get puffed up, so I shouldn't do my service. If I chant my rounds, I may become pure, and then I may get puffed up that I'm pure. Better I don't chant my rounds. If I come to Srimad Bhagavatam class, I might learn the philosophy, and then when I speak, I'll get puffed up because people will like to hear what I speak, so I will not go to Srimad Bhagavatam class. That's not... We go to Srimad Bhagavatam class and we understand that these devotees I'm reading about, what was their humility? What was their devotion? What was their surrender? I want to be like that. We chant the holy names not because we want to be famous. We chant the holy names because Trinada Bisuni Chena, we want to actually taste Krishna in his names by becoming humble. So we should perform our services, but we should have the proper attitude of prayer. One more question? Say it loud and...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, a question related with the Prabhuji. You said that the Maitreya Muni, when he approached near Krishna and Uddhava, they were speaking, the purport Prabhupada says that Maitreya Muni was not purified devotee. But when, after hearing the discourse among Uddhava and Krishna, he became purified. So just wish to know that Prabhupada says in the purport that he was having some impersonal understanding of the Lord, that's why Lord neglected him. As such.
He didn't neglect him in a way that was insulting. He neglected him in a way that would actually help him. You see, Maitreya Rishi was not envious. He was a little mixed. He wasn't an impersonalist. He was a devotee who was a little mixed. Yes, with monism. But by being in the association of Krishna and Uddhava and hearing that conversation, he became a completely pure devotee. What is your question? If he had any envy in his heart, he wouldn't have benefited very much. He was a devotee. But he wasn't 100% pure like Uddhava. But he became 100% pure just by associating with Krishna and Uddhava and by hearing their words. I'm very grateful for everything all of you are doing here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.